My first question, I'm done with my career. I've raised my children. I'm retired right now, and I feel really stuck about what to do with this free time. There's a part of me that has always worked toward waking up, late enlightenment, trying to be present, trying to bring presence to situations I'm in, kind of focusing on that. Another part of me is like the artist in me that wants to use this time maybe to learn to illustrate, maybe do some children's books, but nothing is really drawing me to do. Everything's like theory, and I don't feel any passion toward any of the things I have theories of doing, so I don't have a clear direction. And my other question is, what does my soul have yet to learn from this lifetime? And maybe they're connected.
Okay. So, what makes you feel joyful? What are the things that give you a light and joyful feeling right now?
Well, I have a puppy, so I'm enjoying that. When I write, writing friends or writing in my journal, usually making up children's books, those kind of things I can find some joy in doing. Art usually is something that I get passionate about, but I've done watercolor, I've done burning wood, I've done acrylic. I've done so many different kinds of mediums of photography, photo manipulation, and I don't have a direction now with my art. I most recently did ceramics and kind of burned out of that. So that's sort of my question is, if it's to pursue an art avenue, what kind of art? And if it's to pursue enlightenment or being awake, what am I missing?
Okay. What you're missing is the joy, and also you don't have to do anything. So at this time of your life, it's supposed to come purely from joy. And in order to know what makes you feel joyful, you need to welcome yourself, know yourself, and welcome yourself. And specifically, allow the child, the inner child, the child inside you to play freely. And it's not no coincidence that you have this puppy around, because it's a very good example of just playing for its own sake, not having a goal, not having a target. It's part of how society has kind of influenced you, or put this limiting framework on what you should be doing. It's important to allow yourself to play freely. And when you don't have to do anything, you can start to feel what you really need. You are talking now about how to express yourself through art, but it's important to get in touch with what you need, and I mean by this what you need emotionally, what the inner child needs from you. Is it possible for you to visualize this inner girl and see what she feels like right now?
I recently been working with a counselor with my inner child. My mother died a few weeks ago, and we did not have a close relationship. Heartbreaking was the word my counselor used for the relationship I had with my mother as a child. Mm-hmm. And so I've been talking to that child. I've been looking at photos of myself at an age of like 8 to 10 and letting her know she will be mothered by me now.
Yes.
And there is a joy that comes from her when I do that. And I can remember that joy, younger than that, but I can remember that joy of just exploring, of being curious, of not being reprimanded for my curiosity before my mother became more influential, before she tried to be influential. Mm-hmm. I was free. And that part of me is looking to come out again. So what you're saying does resonate with that child. Like, she's kind of going, yes, yes, playing sounds really fun. Okay. Let's just play.
Right. Yes, that's, I can sense this too, but there's another part that somehow feels empty or bored and a bit angry as well.
Yeah, that's the art part that has no outlet. You know, I'm kind of frustrated with there not being any passion for some type of medium.
Yeah, right.
And
yes, what I feel is that, of course, it's great to feel passionate, but what right now this inner child, what she needs is more something like tenderness and very close attention, because to be in a state, to be passionate means you're very focused. You're focused on something and you want to achieve it and you find ways of achieving. And it seems like you know what this is like. You have done this. But now it seems to be a time for you to kind of not be in this very focused energy, but more to allow the child to speak and first really listen, because she has been suppressed. Yeah, she has. Yeah, you mentioned the word heartbreaking, referring to the relationship with your mother. So, this girl has suffered. She needs. What I hear her say is, I need to cry some more.
Yeah, that could very well hit home. And that's something that I wasn't allowed to do growing up. That wasn't allowed. So I could see where she would say that. I can also see my resistance to allowing her, because I don't know how much she needs to express and in what way, or if it's been out of control. I have that concern, I guess.
Okay. What I hear her saying is, I like to just have emotions like any normal human being. There's nothing extreme about it, you know. Sometimes I'm happy, I laugh, I play, and then I'm angry and I cry, and it's like a very natural flow, and it's not extreme at all. But you have absorbed this judgment about it, right?
I see what you're saying, and I believe it's true. I don't know what my resistance is to allowing her to just be yourself, but there is that fear there.
Yeah, Yesha says the resistance is in your masculine energy, who wants to control this flow, and it wants to do it because out of fear. This masculine energy has become part of a survival mechanism through which you want to protect yourself and not give in to these feelings and emotions. But it's restricting you too much. And in a way, you need the masculine energy to be very focused and do things. But now it seems it's more important to allow the feminine energy to freely express itself. And it's your artwork needs to be inspired by a deeper part of you. But to explore the deeper part, you first need to let go about of the idea that you have to do something about art right now. Does it make sense?
Yeah, actually it does.
Okay. Yeah, so I will go to your second question. I just want to mention that I myself see this image of a girl who's very lively and has all these emotions like I described, but and I see her behind a glass window. It's like somehow it's hard for her to fully show herself to you. So she really would love your full attention.
I will definitely work on that.
Mm. And your second question is about your soul's journey, and Yeshua. Okay, I channel Yeshua. Your soul wants to make peace with Mother Earth and being here. You have a warrior soul. You have in many lifetimes you try to change things and were ahead of the times. You were a pioneer and wanted to create new ways of thinking, bring in a new awareness. And often you bumped up against the existing order, the way things were, and you often ended up in conflicts and struggle, and you experienced also the pain and trauma of rejection quite strongly in several lifetimes, but you still. You remained passionate, but in this lifetime, it's a lifetime of integration. You want to balance the energies inside, and to embrace. In the warrior part is quite a lot of masculine energy, and you want to embrace the feminine as well. And you are a female in this life, so you want to your soul wants to have to accept the world as it is, and to be at peace with it, and to enjoy life. It sounds very simple, but this inner child, this girl, is very meaningful in that respect. Do you recognize this warrior part?
Yes, I do. I feel passionately about making a difference in the lives of children that I've worked with. Mm. And there's always been that fighter that has, you know, made sure that they are getting love, getting the things that I felt I never got. I suppose I projected that onto them or whatever. But yeah, that warrior spirit has always been, played a role in getting me through life.
Yeah. But I feel that right now, your soul wants to balance this side with a more softer or feminine energy. the warrior energy gives meaning to life when you are, you know. But so when you don't feel this particular passion, it may seem like things are meaningless and empty, but they're not. You're really trying to, your soul really wants to, you know, it's like you are, have gone through a, like all light workers, through a huge circle of cycle of lifetimes. And at the end, you want to balance the energies, and to balance that warrior part with a softer feminine, energy. I believe that we can only really finish our journey here when we feel peaceful about life as it is, even if there are there's so much still that needs to be changed and fixed and whatever. But we let go then of this judgment, this feeling, this and yeah, it's about surrender and peace. And the more you allow the little girl to play and just be who she is, this very lovely human girl, that's kind of what your soul is focused on right now. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Okay, so we will enter the second round for you. We can. Would you like to start, Borja? Or, yeah. Oh, I know. Christina started the first. Yeah. Well, it doesn't matter to me. Yeah, it's okay. Yeah.
Thanks.
You, Christina.
Sure. Okay. I guess my next question has to do with, like, intimate romantic relationships in particular. I'm really sensitive, and I tend to, like, pick up on other people's emotions really easily. And sometimes they can overwhelm me. And I've chosen a partner who is very vibrant with his self-expression. And I think I know why. It's inspiring, but also sometimes I feel like I can hide behind it, which feels like a relief. Over time, like, it feels like a relief in the moment, but over time, I know it hurts me when I don't express myself and I hide behind my partner's vibrancy, if that makes sense. And I'm kind of wondering, this particular relationship is kind of new and exciting, and I'm afraid of messing it up by falling into this pattern of choosing to hide.
So, what or why do you need to hide?
I feel like being quiet is safer sometimes.
So do you feel that you are not saying no when you want to?
I do struggle with that, but it's something I'm actively working on changing.
You have to understand that you become more interesting and meaningful to your partner if you express yourself. If you hide, you are not just hurting yourself, but also taking away something of the potential in this relationship. Do you feel that your partner doesn't understand you or is not open to who you essentially are?
I don't feel that way in this relationship. Actually, I feel like I'm always hiding my spirituality from people.
Yeah, so hiding has become a second nature because you feel, as mentioned before, it's not just that you are afraid of their reaction, but also you're not at ease with your own sensitivity and everything you sense. But it's something that's actually very powerful to share with other people, especially the ones close to you. But first you need to feel safe with yourself. It's the first step is about accepting and embracing yourself. And in this relationship, you can practice this. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you speak about spirituality, but it does mean that you express what you sincerely feel about a situation, for example, about certain or emotions you have. It doesn't have to be framed as something spiritual, but it's purely about expressing what you feel. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it does.
And what is your worst fear? What will happen if you do this?
I think rejection. Rejection played a really big role for me in my first romantic encounter.
What's happening now is that you are rejecting yourself by not expressing yourself fully. So hiding is not an innocent thing. Hiding means that you are suppressing certain impulses. So you're not naturally being yourself. And take the risk. Because what's the relationship worth if you cannot express yourself in it? Does it truly bring you joy if you can't? And in the end, it's not about saving the relationship. It's about your journey. You are on a journey of self-expression and in this life, specifically to recover from traumas that you that were caused in past lives as well. So take the risk, because nothing hurts more than rejecting yourself. You can deal with other people's rejection, but when you reject yourself, it's extremely painful. Then you are continuously in conflict with yourself. And when you accept yourself, when you even appreciate and cherish and love yourself, then someone else's rejection, it really doesn't hit you that hard anymore. It's really an issue of self-worth. Can you feel worthy? Or can you feel me when I tell you that you are worthy?
Help me.
Yeah. Can you feel your own masculine energy? Because we have both, whether we are male or female, we have both energies inside us. And you have a lot of sensitivity, which is part of the feminine energy. But your masculine energy seems a bit... Like he's not doing much. He's just standing there. As I see it, like if I visualize it, he isn't sure if he's allowed to take up space. When I see him, then I get the feeling that self-expression is not just about, for example, that you believe... telling people what you believe in, spirituality or something like that. But it's also about just saying, hey, no, I don't want this. Just, you know, being very basic self-expression. And this masculine energy that's part of your soul, he wants to do this for you. But that is exactly the opposite of hiding.
Sense.
Okay, I also want to share that from my own journey that I was terrified when I started channeling. I was terrified of what people would say or think and reject me. And there were also past life memories of being punished and persecuted for it. But so it was extremely difficult. And I even also got sick and yeah, it was very hard to express myself openly as a channel. But if I had not done it, that I don't know, of course, what would have happened, but that might have been even more harmful to me. If you don't express what's inside you, it will not let you go. It's who you are. So and of course you shouldn't. I myself, maybe I pushed myself too hard to express myself as a channel because there was a lot of demand for it from the start. I should have maybe taken it more easily, but if I had not done it because I had a lot of fear, then I would maybe also have become sick or depressed, or because you know it's really not an option to keep it all in. Even if some people reject you, even if people close to you, you have to take the risk. And there will definitely be people who are very open to your to your light, to who you are. That has been my experience too. When I actually allowed started channeling, and the problem became that people liked it so much that I had to protect myself from too much, you know. So I just want to say that hiding is, in the end, it's not an option. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, who's next? Yes.
Okay. My second question has to do with change in the way I work, because I feel the kind of a need to open my work to groups in a groupal frame, and because I want to start to share not only psychology issues, psychology matters, and but also to give to the people some spiritual content in group. You understand?
I'm not sure. So, because you said you were doing Gestalt therapy and yoga classes, right?
Yes, but I am feeling the need to add another format to my work in groupal sessions with therapy, but not a group therapy. Gatherings of people and with psychology issues, but also with spiritual content.
Yes. Okay, so you want to organize these bigger gatherings. Yes, and so you and your question is?
My question is that I feel a fear to do so, and I hesitate if it's my time or not to do so. So fear and hesitations are my resistance or obstacles.
First, do some more inner work, like what we talked before about embracing the inner boy, the inner child, and then you will get more self-confident because now the fears that you have, it's you will attract things more easily to you when you first work a bit more on the fears, so that the boy starts, this inner boy starts to feel more free, to express himself. It's the more you become yourself, the more you become visible to others. This actually also ties in with the previous question about hiding. The more you shine your light, and that also means you truly accept yourself and you heal the wounds of the past, then you will also start a kind of a flow of synchronicity will arise. So you will attract people, and these gatherings could happen, but don't try to push it too hard. Allow also things to happen spontaneously. And the most important thing, let joy be your guide. Whenever you feel excited, joyful, and about organizing these larger meetings, and things flow easily, then it's the right time. But I would like to tell you that first embrace this inner child more strongly, so that he feels secure and more grounded, and you feel more secure and grounded, and then you will attract more work to you. Is that, yeah?
Okay.
Okay. Alana?
Okay. So my second question is, I'll read it again. Since last year, I've started channeling this higher wisdom that flows in now on like a daily basis in my inner mind or inner hearing. And I've heard a term for this that really resonated, the gift of divine insight. And it feels like these direct revelations from spirit or my spirit team, and sometimes it'll happen when I'm halfway between sleep and awake. And I call that like my angels whispering to me. Mm. And I sense that as a part of my path, I'm here as a coach and mentor to help illuminate misunderstandings about the spiritual journey based on my experience and what I've been shown. And I have been told that I would channel, just not necessarily like a voice channel, is kind of like your gift. And so my question here is, like, it seems like this is what that person was talking about when they told me about I would be channeling. And so I'm just wanting to check in on if I'm understanding this gift of inner wisdom flow accurately in terms of how it shows up for me and the purpose that it serves in my work professionally and personally, really.
Do you feel the energy that wants to flow through you, that wants to be channeled? Where do you feel it?
I'm gonna say I don't know, but my attention came to like my chest, heart area.
And it wants to flow down, like into your abdomen. The issue is that yes, you can channel, but there is right now a kind of, you are controlling this flow from your mind, and there's a certain perfectionism. And this can interrupt the flow. And that's why I'm referring to the abdomen, because in the abdomen you can feel the power of this energy. Mm. And you have to also realize that the channel is not just about saying the exact right words, but it's an energy that comes through. In whatever form, through voice or in other ways, but it's about feeling comfortable and safe with this energy flowing through you. So the energy is safe and light, but your mind is a bit cautious or careful about it. Do you know, did you give a name to this energy, or do you feel who it is?
No, I just think of it as my spirit team or higher self. I've never thought about a specific name or being.
Yeah, I see a past life now. I can tell you about it, right? Yeah, and that which was ended in trauma. The you were it ended by being burned at the stake. So you were so like a witch. But before that happened, your this flow of energy through you was very natural. You had no problem connecting with your abdomen and you were channeling with. Like, yeah, it's of course just a label channeling, but you were just speaking from a source of knowledge or sensing things, reading energy, and you felt also it really fulfilled you. You felt very grounded and strong when you did it, but there were at that time powers who didn't allow this or. But Yeshua is actually not asking you now to look at the trauma of being sentenced and burned, but to go to this feeling of having this being in touch with this intuitive flow and how good it feels to also be out of your head. You are still using your mind when you channel and speak, but the mind is kind of following the energy instead of controlling it. Can you feel that a little bit?
The way I would describe it is like, in terms of coming down into the abdomen, like I do recognize that I want to like land a little bit more, and I would describe it as like I notice I'll start to float up when I don't feel safe.
Yeah.
That's what I've been wanting help with, is to land in a more rooted way and feel safe.
Yeah. Okay, you are safe. The memory this that the soul memories that haunt you are from the past. They're not from the not, not from the present. But because you did it before, it may be helpful to just imagine that you're channeling. That sounds strange, right? But just and then it can also bypass sometimes your mind. Just imagine that you're channeling, that you're asking your guide or whoever you feel is there questions. Because this ability, it does want to get back to you.
I notice there is, maybe it goes back to the like getting it right, but I care a lot about interpreting it, what I'm receiving, like in integrity, rather than misinterpretation, or if I'm like sharing with someone, I don't want to mislead anyone. And so I think there's something around like making sure I'm like precise in what I'm receiving that it's probably not as helpful as I intended to be.
Yeah, well, yeah, sure, of course, it's a good thing to be as pure as possible and but on the other hand, you know, misinterpretation can always happen. If you become too careful and strict, then you kind of block the flow. And Yeshua just says also leave it to other people. What they make of it, you have no control of it in the end. You have yeah. Also when you are channeling, that's also what I experience sometimes. You don't know exactly why you're saying some things to people and you sometimes wonder, does it really make sense or does it but so you have to trust. You cannot know it. And so when you feel overly responsible, then you can get into your head too much. So the advice is just to try it.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay.